This episode of Star Wars in Character is brought to you by the new Star Wars in Character Amazon.com shop. If you're looking for some new Star Wars merchandise like the upcoming Blu-ray disc sets, take a look at our new shop by visiting our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and clicking on the Star Wars in Character Amazon.com shop on the front page. Shop the same great Amazon prices, services, and selections you know while supporting the podcast.
What do you know? Pants are on the ground.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Dexter Jetster. Dexter Jetster only appears in episode 2 of Attack of the Clones. My name is Chief Chirpa Chris.
Aww.
Yup, nup.
Didn't you do that one already?
No, I went back in time. I wrote them all to see what I'd said and didn't say. This one I love, man. All right.
Okay.
Matt Linium Falcon.
Not bad.
I like that one.
Dewback Dave. Big animal. And Dark Trooper Tim.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it. It can't all be winners.
Dark Trooper's out there.
Was that the thing from the video game?
I think so. Dark Trooper Timmy.
Yes.
Give us some facts about Mel's Diner.
All right. Dexter Jetster is a Basalisk. Basalisk, I believe, is the species from the ocean world Odom. All right. Dex first met Obi-Wan when Obi-Wan was still a Padawan after... dropping bottle. This is what it says on Wikipedia. After dropping bottles in an alleyway at a bar that Dexter ran, I don't know what Obi-Wan was doing in the alleyway.
Dropping
for Dexter.
He was dropping bottles.
I guess he was. He was running a bar out on this planet of Ord Sigit, and he was dropping bottles in the alleyway, and that's where the two of them met.
Well, just imagine if you saw a guy in the alley with four fucking arms.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the context of their meeting was, but it seems a little creepy.
Yeah, I would say, especially when one of them, his pants are falling down.
Always.
That is, of all the things in the prequels I hate, I think I might hate this guy and his diner and his falling pants most of all.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think I chose Dexter is because he is one of those characters that I really do not like.
Looking like a fool with the pants on the ground.
Episode 2 has some examples of some things. Episode 2 is my least favorite episode of the entire series, and partly because of the diner and the sports bar that they go into earlier in the movie, because it's just they bring too much stuff that's in our world, too many familiar things from our real world, and put them in the movies, and it takes you out of it. It sort of...
Wow. You know what? Amazing. I feel the exact same way about that stupid diner scene.
Yeah.
Especially the stupid waitress robot. She might as well be chewing gum while she's talking.
You want to have some Java juice with that? Yeah. Those are the two things in that movie that really take me out of it and sort of annoy me.
As I say, those are the second things after the script, filming, and the acting, and the directing, and the production, and the special effects, and the sound.
It's funny that I think all four of us feel exactly the same way, and we haven't talked about it till just this very second.
It's too hurtful to talk about.
It's true. I have this written down. Too many Earth-like things.
Yeah.
It does. It's just so out of place.
They're at the Quakertown family restaurant here, and the sports bar at the beginning is Dave and Buster's.
I thought it Dex's Plain and Fancy.
Yeah, it's one of the worst scenes, if not the worst, in the entire Star Wars saga, I think. Yes. And you keep saying "kiss my grits." That waitress, it's like Flo. Uh-huh. She even has a New York accent.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was built
the booth. It's like a 50s, like there's like rock and roll music playing, like a 50s diner, and there's like padded booths and stools like in Arnold's.
I'm surprised they didn't have a little jukebox thing next to on Obi-Wan's table, and he put like a credit in, and it starts playing.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
I bet you at money they talked about that in a meeting.
Yeah, probably did.
Jawa juice. Yeah, you gotta
Jawa juice. I mean, come on.
How exactly do you make Jawa juice? You squeeze a Jawa.
You squeeze the hell out of a Jawa. Well, the juice out of a Jawa.
It's Jawa piss. That's all it is.
Yeah, before he ran Dex's Diner, he ran many businesses in his life. As I said, he was running a bar. He was pretty much.
No, okay.
And we'll get to the fate of Dex's Diner a little later.
Oh, good.
But he ran a bar, which is what he was running when he met Obi-Wan. And
Dark Alley.
That bar was a front for a weapons. For a weapons business that he was an underground weapons business. Then he actually opened a more legitimate weapon shop where he sold supplies to mercenaries and bounty hunters. And at one point the shop was raided. So he decided to go out of business, out of the weapons business. So he sold his entire inventory to Jango Fett. Yeah.
Why does he microcosm the Star? Why do these people microcosm the Star Wars galaxy so much, for God's sake? And okay, that's another discussion.
They haven't even invented a number for how many people are in the universe yet. Right. They all run into each other.
Yeah.
Well, when is
Chewbacca's always involved somehow?
When does he sell his entire cachet of weapons to Jango Fett? Like before episode 2?
Yeah, yeah. Because he uses the money that from the profits of the Jango Fett sale to fund his move to Coruscant so he can open a diner in Coco Town of Coruscant, the shopping district of
Coco Town? Is that a tour Cocoa destination that's after you leave Valorum's old planet?
Coco Town.
You do.
Coco Town.
So is that how these people that come up with this stuff, is that how they explain that he knows about it's a Kamino saber dart or whatever he says? Is that how he knows that stuff? Because he's like weapons expert.
I guess since he sold weapons, but he used to do mining exposition. He's one of those jack of all trades. He's done everything.
Jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
Four hands.
So if you follow this stuff literally, he may have even helped aid the very bounty hunter that Obi-Wan comes to ask him for advice on.
He may have sold that Kaminoan dart to Jango Fett.
So this
or is, gave those or sold those slugs to Jango Fett to give to Zam Wessel to use to a set, possibly.
Hmm. See, because he comes off in the movie as being this helpful grandfatherly. I mean, he's got like a mustache and a ponytail. He's got like a gray mustache. He comes off as being like this grandfatherly nice guy, but really he's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, he possibly could have sold some of the weapons that have been used to kill women, children, destroy planets.
Hmm.
He wipes his hands of it. He's the jackal.
Ram his coat. He's the shirt.
Jackal. Is there any backstory for the Flo type waitress with the New York accent?
There was a backstory. I didn't go. I know that the actress is Susie Porter, who plays the blonde waitress you see in there. Susie Porter is the voice of the robot. And initially, when they wrote the script, the blonde waitress was going to be Dexter's wife, but
no one cared enough to even talk about that.
At that point, it's just like, who cares. But no, she's just an employee at that point. And the robot is owned, I guess, by him.
Next.
But knowing Dex's colorful and varied past, Obi-Wan frequently utilizes Dex's worldly knowledge to gain info and insight on missions and tasks, which is where we see them in episode 2.
Which is weird because when Obi walks in the thing, Norm, and they all know his name. Why, when he sees Dexter, he looks so fucking giddy like a schoolgirl. He looks.
I'm telling you, there is some homoeroticism going on. There are some creepy sexual predator kind of things going on from Dex towards him.
Because when he hugged him with his two top arms, where's the two bottom arms at?
Yeah,
pulling up his pants. Come on,
looks so
hilarious.
Happy, like and just like Chris Hansen-ness was going to pop out soon. You know what I mean? It was just weird thing to watch, I thought.
I bought a pack or two of the latest edition of Star Wars Galaxy, and I don't know exactly how they number the cards. This one is card number 16 over 621. And there is a picture of Ewan McGregor, an artist representation of Ewan McGregor smiling with Dexter behind him, putting his arm around. It looks like he's about to stroke the scruff of his chin. It is so homoerotic picture. And I'm going to take a photo of it, and I'll pop it up on our Facebook page when this pops up.
Well, other than that, and this scene being horrible because of the Earth-like things that we talked about, to me, the whole scene kind of undermines Obi-Wan. These guys are supposed to be like all-knowing and powerful, and he's coming to some hash slinger to get information. It makes Obi-Wan seem like a putz.
A doofus, yeah.
And like you said, he's like
he looks so giddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that bothers me about Ewan McGregor, because I love Ewan McGregor, I think we all like him to some degree. He's an awesome actor, but that whole movie goes from his actual hair and beard to wig and plastered on beard constantly from scene to scene, and it's annoying as hell. Even within that scene, he goes from real hair to wig to real hair to wig.
Yeah, he does. And his head's the only thing real in the whole shot. As he hugs him, the whole body, the cape, the arms are all CGI.
That's what you said, when they hug?
Yeah, when they hug, it's all just fake shit except for the head flip.
That whole scene is so obviously fake. Everything, the scenery, most of the set. What's really distracting is the stuff going on in the background and the windows. I can't stand watching that scene. That's one of the hardest ones to watch as far in terms of like just really obvious CGI in the prequels, for me at least.
Yeah, it's so obvious that was all fucking just fake shit.
Yeah.
Well, you see the Sebulba characters back there just like talking away, but you can't hear any voice. You just see their mouths moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of assorted aliens. The Sebulba looking guys, there's Greedo looking guys. And Ewan McGregor.
his
floating head. I mean, I can only imagine the directing of that scene.
He looks so happy and giddy, like a little schoolgirl.
Dex.
Wait, you're saying Ian McGregor's head is the only thing real in that? The rest of his body's CGI? I think I lost something in this.
Yeah, the rest of his body is all CGI.
In the scene where they hug.
As soon as they hug. It's a
okay.
Floating head, it's a little head, you get it? And it was just, that's it. That's all. And the cape was all fake and the arms and...
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't notice that much, and I don't want to go back and watch it.
No, I didn't know that till Chris told me that either.
Why does Dexter say pocketbook?
He's talking about how you could get the what are the tall people with the skinny neck and the head? What are
the Kaminoans?
Yeah, you can get them to do stuff for you, like create clones if you have deep pocketbooks. I think is what he's saying. Deep pockets.
That means.
Like if you have enough money to pay them.
The pocketbook is a girl thing, isn't it?
Not in the Star Wars galaxy.
I think it just says
not in the Star Wars. I wrote that pocketbook.
I did notice what in that scene, Dex curses.
What did he say?
He says damn.
Oh.
Which isn't a big deal.
Oh.
He says, they're cloners, damn good ones too. And
sound like Sam Elliott.
I was just gonna say, is he Sam Elliott now?
Veal. Is that what he's saying? Or pork, whatever it is.
Beef. It's worse for dinner.
The double douche.
Is that the only instance in the Star Wars movies where someone says the word damn?
That's what I was getting at. I was trying to think, and I know that you guys will be helpful with this. I mean...
Yeah, you guys will be.
I don't know of too many other instances where someone curses. Not that that's a major violation, but kind of unnecessary for him to say damn good ones. And... it's just another reason that scene just is so off-putting. It's just a mess.
The whole scene sucks.
It does. I blame screenwriter Jonathan Hales.
Why?
Because I'm sure he wrote that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure the American Graffiti connection has nothing to do with George, an old 50s diner.
Yeah, it's a good one, Matt.
Matt, I never thought about that.
Well,
that I didn't think about it till just now.
Did this damn straight. You need a little more hate in your lives, apparently.
This is a nod to American Graffiti.
I think I saw Ron Howard in the background.
And Richard Dreyfuss.
So apparently throughout the Clone Wars, although we haven't seen him yet on the actual episode, but Dex assisted Obi-Wan throughout the Clone Wars, and he also assisted other Jedi.
No, he made him a fucking burger. Here's a burger. Let me touch you.
Whoa.
What? Chris.
Come again, literally.
Your credits aren't good here, but something is. But yeah, he's also helped others. So I guess he's appeared quite frequently in the comic books because they mention Quinlan Vos as another Jedi that he has worked extensively with. And Quinlan Vos mainly was a comic book Jedi. Well, so after the...
At least your backstory would sort of explain why Obi-Wan is there at all.
Because
it still bothers me that this Jedi needs anyone's help, especially a guy with a hole in his shirt whose pants are falling down.
Pants on the ground.
So,
but after the Clone Wars, Dex's diner was destroyed.
Aww.
Yeah, destroyed, leveled. And then I think another restaurant was built in its place. But so he decided to go into the underbelly, the underground of Coruscant and become part of a group called the Erased, which is a group of individuals who have erased all records of their existence. Why? I don't know. I guess so. People, I don't. I mean, I really don't know why. he just goes off the grid. I can't even fathom an explanation. But he is currently residing deep in the underlevels of Coruscant. His final fate has not been written. And so that is that.
He went out there, take a whack at it, because you can't do any worse than they've done already.
Exactly. Would someone please kill off this character?
Well, yeah, in the preview they showed for the Clone Wars season 4, I don't think it's him. And again, as I say, he hasn't shown up on the series yet, but a character of the same species shows up in the preview they showed at WonderCon, and I think you can see that on StarWars.com, where his species, they show what I'm assuming is a Jedi with two double-bladed green lightsabers. So we'll have to wait and see what that character is all about next season.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm excited. The character of Dexter was portrayed by Australian actor Ronald Falk. And when I looked at his stuff on IMDb, I have not seen anything else that this gentleman has been in. We haven't seen him at any conventions, so I have nothing to say about Ronald Falk.
You don't. You that's a guy that one of the guys you don't have.
Yeah, we've never met him. I remember during the time when I would send away for autographs of the mail, getting a contact address mailing off, but I never got anything back from him. So he's got my stuff.
He's deep on the ground. That's why he can't get a hold of him.
Yeah,
he keeps going to sign. He's dropping his pen, then his pants fall down. And he has to pick him up.
Like,
and, what do you know? Pants are on the ground.
Pants on the ground.
And the only other thing that I have written here is Dexter's last name, Jetster, is named after George Lucas's son, Jet.
Oh, good.
Hey.
And does his pants fall down all the time, too?
He's in episode 3, isn't he?
He's in episode 2 and 3. He plays the little Jedi that is in the library that Jocasta Nu goes to help right after she tells Obi-Wan that he's an idiot and can't find anything in the damn library. And then he's killed. Jet Lucas is killed in front of Jimmy Smits near about 3/4 of the way through Revenge of the Sith.
Right. Mm. Oh, is that the kid that actually kicks ass for a couple seconds and gets blown away?
Yeah.
That was one of the only things I liked about that movie, and now you got to tell me who it is, and now I got to cut that off my list as well. And it's not the kid's fault. It's, you know,
no.
But it's, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Mm.
Genetics.
It's life's not fair.
But that's all I got.
Matt, if you don't have a good website now, can you please make up one? Of Chris Hansen, one scene walking in, having Dexter on a stool. You have to be able to splice the two together.
I would, but you know, everything I have to make up is like, so far seems like it has to be from the prequels, and I just don't want to invest that much time in anything to do with the prequels.
True, all right.
But the Malakali one I didn't mind because that was from the original trilogy. But what I did find, are we done, really? Or on the website?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
We're done.
Well, not. I didn't know Dexter's Diner doesn't exist anymore, so I don't know how well this thing was worthless anyway, because it didn't really exist in reality in the first place, I guess. But someone actually put together a Dex's Diner menu, if you're ever curious what he served in this place.
Ooh.
It looks like the site, and I haven't spent that much time on the site, but it looks like the site is actually a role-playing game, like an actual campaign. People are playing the Star Wars role-playing game, and they're like piecing the site together from what they're coming up with, and they must have come up with Dex's Diner's menu at one point, so...
Any of the menu items at least somewhat interesting or funny? Better than Jawa juice, anyway?
Well, they're creative, I'd say. I wouldn't say they're funny. So, they did put Jawa juice in, because I guess you can't ignore that from that stupid scene.
Right.
But they put it... I mean, their other stuff is like, you know, it looks like they tried to put dishes together from animals or planets we may have heard of, so... It's...
Like wombats and stuff like that.
Not even that specific. Like
Jedi Jit.
No. No, that's not in there, believe it or not. Trying to find an example of what I'm trying to say. Like a Nerf burger. Okay, so I guess kind of like what you were saying, Dave.
Okay.
Nerf burger.
So yeah, it's not that actually it's not bad. It's just, again, like the last episode, I'm starting to find that the concepts that the ideas of people are putting together in concept are really good, but then, you know, what they have to work with isn't all that great. So I might give up this part of the podcast and just say, we'll go right to trivia.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, so what? The website is obsidianportal.com. So again, we'll be in our show notes.
Yeah. I once had a menu from, Jack Rabbit Slims from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that's cool.
Like an actual menu. I like stuff like that. So, except this has to do with Dexter's Diner.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's like, I just so don't want to care when it comes to the prequels. It's like,
oh. Hey, Chris, on the Lego Star Wars Complete Saga game, it says that Dexter is a playable character. Have you ever played with him?
I haven't saw the game yet. No.
He doesn't have a weapon. You just kind of there's some guys that don't do anything. Like
just walks around.
Jar Jar just jumps. He doesn't. Now on the episode 3 Clone Wars 1, which we've been playing the last few days, he does punch and stuff. But before, all you could do was like jump up and down with Jar Jar. Dexter just like swings at you. Yeah.
What do you know? Slap. What do you know? Slap.
My pants.
He can't hold a weapon. Some of the guys don't hold weapons.
Like Lobot, he can only punch people, right?
Yeah, Lobot punches and headbutts. With his bald dome.
Oh my.
All right, are you ready for some trivia?
Trivia.
Hey, trivia. All
right. That is unhappy.
So we'll play.
I just get so angry and depressed about the prequels.
This is the best part of the podcast.
Well, maybe your score will cheer.
Okay, that's true. Yeah,
we can go into the scores here if I can find them. Here they are. Chris, you have 7.
Losing.
Yes, Tim, you are at 9.
Bam.
And Matt and I are tied in the lead with 10.
There you go. Now I'm happy again.
And all these questions are straight from the original trilogy, so that should make you happy too.
Yes,
because if we did prequels, Tim would have. Like, I don't know, how many shows have we done? This is like 12. He'd have 12, and we'd all have like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I would be supreme.
So play along with us as you listen and you drive your car or exercise or whatever the hell you're doing. We're sitting at a table. And
nothing gets you motivated to exercise like thinking about Dexter Jetster.
That's right.
I want to look like that guy.
Exactly. Yep.
Chris, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right.
Just give me 7 now.
No, I think you're going to get this. Now, there's a quote in here, and I will insert the quotation marks. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who said, quote, he's got too much of his father in him, end quote. Who said, quote, he's got too much of his father in him, end quote.
Aunt Brew.
Correct. Congratulations. Now, they have her full name here. You want to take? I'm going to give you the points no matter what, but let's get a little more specific here. This is a Star Wars podcast. Well, I'm glad I didn't have you be specific.
Tim, you know that one, Tim?
Beru Whitson Lars.
Oh my God, he's adding things. It just says Beru Lars.
The third. I was thinking Lars, but all right.
What did you say?
Whitson is her maiden name.
Are you serious?
Yep.
What is wrong with you, Tim? You know Aunt Beru's maiden name.
Whitson or Whiteson.
All right. Well, Chris, you got that one.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Matt, are you ready?
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting because we're just talking about cursing in Star Wars. So here's your question. Who said, quote, "Then I'll see you in hell"?
Han Solo. Oh.
I didn't even get to finish it. That is correct. After receiving a stern warning from a concerned rebel officer, Han Solo is correct. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's more cursing in Star Wars.
Leave it to Han.
That's right.
I think there's a time that John Ratzenberg said, "Holy shit, it's cold in here."
All right, Tim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's see what we got for Tim. Tim.
Yes.
I also have a quote in yours. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, okay.
To what phrase did C-3PO reply, quote, "How rude," end quote? To what phrase did C-3PO...
Well,
to what?
If we're talking Star Wars, there's that part where he's with the Death Star droid, and the Death Star droid goes "Nunchuck," and he's like, "How rude!"
Phrase did C-3PO reply, quote, "How rude," end quote.
That's the only. I know he said it more than once, but that's the only scene that pops into my head when he sees that. That Death Star droid in Star Wars.
Tim, I'm afraid that is incorrect.
In fact, everything you said was wrong.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You were off on.
And it also proves that you've never listened to this podcast.
That's true. Matt, I know exactly what Matt's talking about.
Yep.
What?
If you listen to the beginning of the podcast, Matt has the answer in the very beginning when all the sound effects are playing.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
man.
Do you know what we're talking about now?
No. I mean, I've listened, but I don't.
I'm going to set the scene for you here, all right? Picture Cloud City, and C-3PO is left behind, as he often is, and he bumps into another protocol droid who says what to him, and his response is, "How rude."
We're doomed.
No. Oh, you...
He says... Ichuta.
Oh, yeah. You know what I did? I was...
It's not said by a Death Star droid. It's said by E3PO.
Stupid. You're an asshole.
It's said by who?
E3PO. Another protocol droid.
That was the name of the protocol droid.
Oh.
Asshole.
Tim, that was... you went from naming the maiden name of Amberu to epic fail.
And you said he said "Nunchuck" or something. I don't even know what you said.
Yeah, I think I said "Nunchuck," which is what
isn't that Klingon?
Fortuna says.
Oh. Yeah, you're not the right saga.
Yeah, I'm way out of it.
All right, Chris, you're catching up to Tim.
I think he called him a muggle.
Dave, I can pick an easier one.
Go for it. You gave me the diameter of the Death Star last time when I nailed it.
How much harder can it be than that?
If it's something like that, I might need multiple choice. But
I'll give you multiple choice on this one.
But
this one.
If it's something like Tim's, I think most Star Wars fans would get it.
Yeah, like any Star Wars fan would get it.
Sorry.
Anyone that doesn't regard the prequels more than the original trilogy would get it.
They're on the same level.
Oh, you! I hate you.
All right, Dave, ready?
I am so ready.
Where did Luke Skywalker learn how to construct a lightsaber? I'll give you choices. Yeah.
Where did he learn how to construct a lightsaber?
From Yoda.
DeVry University Tatooine campus.
From the Force. From a book in Obi-Wan Kenobi's house from the HoloNet? I can give you another one.
No, I'm taking this one.
All right.
Yoda didn't tell Luke shit. He told him to figure it out for your own damn self. I don't know what was going on at Obi-Wan Kenobi's house. I don't know what was going on at Obi-Wan Kenobi's house. And I don't know what the HoloNet is. Is that like some Star Wars internet? So I am going to go with he learned it from the Force.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
That's wrong, Dave.
No. Oh.
from a book in everyone's house, but did you just say yeah?
Yeah. Tim, you have no right to say anything to anyone about details last question.
I guarantee if I got that question and Dave got the other one, Dave still would have got that other one wrong.
Well, he would have got Echuta. Anyone would have got Echuta except you, apparently.
Your question was actually out of one of the movies. This book in Obi-Wan's house is from somebody's imagination other than George Lucas's. Tell me the deal here, Tim.
End Echuta.
I think it's in the novelization for Jedi, which I just bought yesterday.
It's also in the radio drama.
Is it?
Yep.
So
I don't think I heard the Return of the Jedi radio drama.
Oh, why would you? You're spending too much time finding everything that's right about the prequels.
No, I've heard the Star Wars one. I just haven't heard the Empire or
Nunchaka. And you've never listened to this podcast, which offends me deeply.
So what are they saying? The thing, like, this is after Empire. He loses his hand and his lightsaber. He has a new lightsaber at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, and they're saying in the interim, he has gone back to Obi-Wan's and ransacked his apartment
on the top shelf
to find a book
under
about
L.
And it says, you know, The Idiot's Guide to Making Lightsabers.
The Force for Dummies.
is that it, Tim? Is that what they say in the thing?
I don't know. I'm actually pacing through it right now. I'm trying to see if I can find something.
Oh, geez. Does it say Nucha in there anywhere?
Does it? You said it's in the radio drama too.
Yep.
So, like in the radio drama, because I haven't heard this since I was little, it's all pretty much like anything that you would be reading. It's all like inner monologue.
Yeah, he's actually talking to R2. He's talking how he, you know, it's the narrator says that he's following instructions from a book left for him at Obi-Wan's, and then he's talking to R2 about, you know, he's reading off the instructions aloud and telling her he's having trouble with it, and he's, you know, explaining her to what he's trying to do, and how he keeps screwing it up, and yada yada yada, and then he has this like epiphany with the Force and ends up just breezing through it all of a sudden.
So that's why I picked the Force thing, because to me, all those other things seem sort of, I don't know, ham-handed, and the Force thing at least is like, I don't know, it adds to his legend.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
His own lightsaber, not his father's. He had lost his father's in a duel with Darth Vader, in which he'd lost his hand as well. Darth Vader, who had told Luke he was his father. But this lightsaber, Luke had fashioned himself in Obi-Wan Kenobi's abandoned hut on the other side of Tatooine. Made with the old Master Jedi's tools and parts, made with love and craft and dire need, he wielded it now as if it were fused to his hand, as if it were an extension of his own arm. This lightsaber truly was Luke's. Although it doesn't say he found it from a book.
Remember,
that didn't answer anything.
Well, it did say it was from in Obi-Wan's hut, so
oh, okay,
it's half there.
That was pretty good reading, Tim. I like that. That was
you like that?
Very masterpiece theater. But
I'll record myself reading the entire 6 movie novelizations, even though they're already out there.
Well, see, there's that scene. I mean, all the stuff that's going to come out on the Blu-ray. There was that scene that they showed to the crowds, and you guys were there at Celebration Pie or whatever, which one it was. And it has him sitting in a cave building his lightsaber, right?
Yes.
Is that supposed to be Obi-Wan's house? It's a cave.
Ooh, it might be his hut.
Obi-Wan had like a nice apartment. I mean, you saw it in there, right?
On the east side.
Yeah, it was a Sex in the City apartment in that junk. And now he's in like a little cave and building it. Is that supposed to be Obi-Wan's or?
No, I guess it is.
This is all
maybe
speculation.
I don't know.
Paging through.
Yeah. All right.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
What the hell?
That sounds terrible.
What's that? Well, I take my comeuppance then, and at this point, we have a leader all by himself. Crystal in the basement with 8, then at 9, me at 10, and Matt is atop the leaderboard with 11. Congratulations.
Yay. You're number one. Thank you. You're number one.
Very impressive.
I'm so happy.
Good job, Matt.
Thank you.
Now, should we mention our contest again here before you leak the next character we're going to be talking about?
Leak is a good word for it.
All right. Well, we mentioned this on our last podcast. We currently have a contest going on until May 30th, and what we're looking for is your geekiest Star Wars moment. Could be pretty much anything. A story of something geeky that happened, a costume that you wore, a costume mishap maybe, anything that you can come up with. You can let us know your geekiest Star Wars moment. You can let us know on our website, which is swyc.neozaz.com, on our Google voicemail phone number, which is 484-809-9150, or on our Facebook page. You can actually post a picture up there of something that is pretty darn geeky, or let us know in an anecdote on Facebook. So three ways to get in touch with us. The winner gets a nice collection of Matt's prints. And if you want to see any examples of those, we can put them up on Facebook. But if you've been on our website, you've seen them. The characters in the logos for our show. Matt takes the photo and really does a nice job in making it look very cool. Very graphic. So
thank you.
You get yourself a nice collection of Matt's artwork, and we thank all the people who have participated in our Facebook page. We have some loyal listeners and listeners that we really have enjoyed reading their stuff, and we got some funny people out there. So let's see you're funny and win yourself some cool stuff.
Most impressive.
You just love playing with that thing, don't you?
What thing's that? Oh, this? Yeah. yes. join us next time. We discuss someone who's really sexy in the movie. Mm. Her name is Ula.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swyc.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.